especially in this time, in prayer, you know, this present time, we got to have faith and we got to believe. And faith is so important, not only because it's impossible to please God without faith. So we need faith in every situation that's going on in this world, in our life. Faith, belief, and understanding is a ground, basic root that we need in our life. We see, thanks to God. So this morning, faith will be the title of this message. Just faith, plain faith. You can add on to what you want, but faith is the title of this message. Faith. What is faith? The Bible said, for faith is the assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen. We see at first glance, this might seem a ridiculous question. What is faith? It seems that we should automatically know what faith is. But if you really think about it, you might find yourself as much at a loss as I was when I read that verse. We see that in Hebrews 11:1, we find that faith is defined as having two major components. First, component one is the first is assurance. Assurance is God's role. The substance, assurance is God's role. Assurance conveyed the idea of giving hope, something that people can hold on to. Assurance is what God gave us in the gospel. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He also said, though you die, yet you shall live. He was giving us assurance. We see, thanks to God, God healed the blind to give assurance that he was the cure for spiritual blindness. He healed the sinner to give assurance of forgiveness of sin. He raised the dead to give assurance that he is eternal life. Assurance is the work of Christ giving us hope. And the second major part of verse 1 is conviction. That is our role. In other words, our role in believing in the assurance of God's promise. Conviction of things not seen. Our role as faith is to be convicted over the assurance of God. God gives assurance, and we are called to believe with conviction that causes us to believe totally conviction of what he says. The two together consummate our faith. When we put his assurance and our conviction together, it confirmates faith. They're just like a man and woman when they get married. When they confirmate they married, they become one. So when we put our belief and his assurance together, it confirmates that faith. When the assurance of God meet the conviction of the heart, what is born? It is faith. The consummation of assurance and conviction, it is true. It is the living faith. We see, thanks to God, that the Bible says God has given us assurance of things hoped for. He given us the assurance of protection, security, peace, rest, strength, purpose, and eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus said, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life, and I am the door. Today we are called to a conviction that these assurances of Christ is real as I'm standing here and you are sitting there. It is real, saints of God. There is no faith without conviction, and our conviction must be in those things that is unseen. We must trust Him. Without trust, faith does not exist. So we have seen what faith is. So let's move a little further. How do we attain this assurance and conviction of God? By faith. How could we attain this faith? We attain this faith, the Bible says, so faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we see faith, thanks to God, in Romans 10 and 17, which I just read, it says, so faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we attain this faith, by the hearing the word of God, to be convicted and believing in assurance of the substance of God, of His promise. We also see Jesus understood that we all have ills, but now all have chosen to heal. So faith is impossible without hearing the assurance of God. So in other words, faith is important to us to believe on the promise of God. Now, if we stand on the promise of God, saints of God, we have His assurance because we have His word. In other words, we are standing on His word. So Jesus, we see, saints of God, that when we stand on His word, there's nothing impossible. Nothing is impossible. In this sense, faith comes through the preaching of the gospel. The gospel opened the ears by its divine power, and open ears hear the assurance, and the assurance lead to conviction, which is faith. So in other words, when we hear the gospel, it opens our ears, and that brings and increase our faith. Faith is not something you produce in yourself. Faith is increased as the gospel is preached, as the assurance of God is revealed, and as the heart is convicted. So what I'm trying to say, thank God, faith is found in the hearing of God's holy words. So you might ask, why is faith so important? I'm glad you asked that, because in Hebrews 11 and 6, it said, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who is diligent and seek Him. So as we have faith, we please God. As we use our faith, we please God. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We need to be aware of the importance of faith, because faith is pleases God. Faith, the importance of faith, it brings salvation. For by grace you are saved through faith. Faith and belief goes hand in hand. You got to have faith to believe, and you got to believe to have faith. So those two go hand in hand. You can't separate one from the other. They go hand in hand. Also, the importance of faith. Faith gives us peace. Faith, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, the world seek peace through education, psychologist, doctor, medicine. In spite of these efforts, there are no more rest and turmoil than ever before. Even if we have these things going on in our life, there's still not no rest. There's still not no peace because we don't have the peace of God. So when we have faith and stand on the word, we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Also, faith, the only real and lasting peace is found in Jesus Christ. So when we have peace, it is found in Jesus Christ, the assurance. We cannot earn it. We cannot buy it. We must accept it as a blessing from our Lord. Also, the importance of faith. Faith is affordable security. On the depths of the rich, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, many are striving for security through temporary pursuit. So they're searching out everything but the right thing, standing on the word of God. They're not searching out God as they should. They're searching out all money, searching out people, friends, or whoever, but they need to search out God himself. That is the security that we need, saints of God. So, in other words, when they accumulate money, investment, real estate, they think all that is security, but they're just only temporary. Secure, the real security by faith is standing on the word of God, having faith in him. True security is found only in Jesus. Earthly treasure wears out, it rusts, it decay, but the riches that Christ effort are eternal. The life he gives is eternal. Is it everlasting? That is the age to come. He must show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. So we are blessed, we are secure through Jesus Christ. Also, the importance of faith is faith requires service. Faith by itself, if it does not have work, it is dead. Many Christians are less victorious because they fail in the service department. Serving to God, service to man. Service for God is faith in action. The faith that brings salvation, it brings peace, it brings security. Also, it requires service. So faith is important, because it brings those things. We also see faith is a CIA, Christian in action. It works not to earn salvation, but are done in appreciation for what God has given us. So we appreciate what God did for us, standing on his faith. Salvation in and through Jesus Christ, we must appreciate. When we help the needy, visit the sick, comfort the bereaved, teach the law, we inhabit a living faith necessary to victorious living. Faith is active. Faith that is not active and done is dead. Hebrews 11 says, by faith appear 10 times. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we see, saints of God, faith is important because we have to stand on the assurance. We also see, faith, saints of God, that as a believer, we have different steps to increase our faith. We have to excuse me, we have to stand on the word. We must have thoroughly understanding of submission and authority in the word. Matthew 8, verse 9 and 10, for I am also a man under authority, having soldier under me, and I said to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he come, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who follow, surely I said to you, I have found not such greater faith, not even in Israel. So we got the understanding, the submission of authority. And who is our authority? Jesus. So that's one step in increasing our faith, to have greater faith. The Bible is full of those examples. Abraham obeyed God when he told to sacrifice Isaac. Moses obeyed and submitted to God's authority when told to spread the rod over the Red Sea. Joshua was given specific instruction on how to take Jericho. Peter and the disciple was told to cast that net in a specific place after fishing all night and catching nothing. As a result, they caught a great many fish. So we see that we got to learn to understand the submission of authority. So step two, we see we must worship the Lord with reverence. Matthew 8, 1 and 3 says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, said, I am willing, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean. So we worship the Lord. How we worship him, how we reverence him, that take a big part in our faith. You know, like I said before, you just can't come in, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You got to come boldly with faith, with confidence. God said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Bring your confession to him and everything. Don't come whipping and like you're afraid. He's your father. Who are you afraid of? When you go to your natural father, you don't come whipping. Your heavenly father, come boldly. Go boldly. The word worship here means to prostrate oneself in homage, to reverence and adore. So we need to adore our heavenly father. We see this again in the example of Joshua meeting the commandment of the Lord's army. Joshua 5, 13 through 15, which said, and it came to pass when Joshua was at Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood up to him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or are you our adversaries? So he said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Again, the word worship is to bow down, to prostrate in homage, to royalty of God. No due reverence before God can speak the word of faith into our ears. We must have an attitude of worship, thanks to God, and reverence toward him. This puts us in a place of sincerity so that we can hear clearly what he wants to say to us. So by having faith, reverence him, being clear and understanding of what path he wants us on. Also, we see another step to increase our faith. Be convinced of Jesus' ability in what you believe. Matthew 9, 28 said, and when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, Yes, Lord. We must be fully convinced that God is able to do what he had promised through Jesus Christ. Abraham was convinced that God has spoken to him. We, too, have to be willing and convinced to believe that God is speaking to us, the promise that he made to us. After years of waiting, Abraham still believed. He still stood and believed that God had the ability. No matter what you're going on in your life, thanks to God, God has the ability to correct it. If sickness in your body, you got to believe, have faith and believe, to know that you is healed. If you is in poverty, you got to believe and have faith that there's food on your table. You got to speak these things into existence. We see in Romans 4, 20 and 22, we see that Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So we have to stand and believe the ability of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also see in Genesis 22:4-5, well, on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off, and Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go beyond and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham knew he had faith in the ability of God. He told the people that him and the lad would come back to them. So he knew, and he believed, and he had faith in God. He had had faith in the ability of Jesus that he gave his son, he will have his son. So he had faith. So why wouldn't he tell the young men to stay here? Men and the young lad will come back to you. He had faith in the ability. That's some strong faith, things of God. We need that kind of faith. And with these steps, it will help us to a greater faith in our life. We also see, thanks to God, that press and regardless of option, press on regardless of option in our lives. The example of a woman with the flowing of blood, Luke 8:43-48. In Luke 8:45-46, it said, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him, "Master, the multitude on you and press you, and you said, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out of me." This woman had to press unto Jesus in spite of the obstacles she faced. The crowd was thronging surrounding him so that it was nearly impossible to get to him. Yet she pressed, and regardless of the opposite of the crowd, she did not lose heart. So thanks to God, that is an example for us. We can't lose heart when things is not immediately happening in our life. We got to continue to have faith and pressing on. No matter what the obstacle, what the devil throw at us, we got to continue to press on. We got to continue to believe in the ability of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Also, we see another key step is exhibiting boldness in the midst of unbelief and mockery. Matthew 9:24-26, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn. But when the crowd was put outside, he went and took her by the hand, and the girl arose, and the report of this went out into all the land. So in other words, thanks to God, we got to stand boldly on the word of God. We got to stand boldly on our belief. We can't, no matter how people mock us and saying that you holy, roly, or whatever and everything, as long as you stand on the word of God, no matter how they mock you, you think you're so righteous or whatever, they're going to mock you because you're a child of God. So just stand boldly in everything. And so as we stand boldly, that will increase our faith. Also, we see example of Nehemiah building the wall, being mocked by Sanballat. Yes, but we see that he was mocked. But did that stop him? No. In Nehemiah 4:1-2, but it was so happy when Sanballat heard that we was rebuilding the wall that he was feared and very upset and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brother in the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they complete it in a day? Will they reverse the stone from the parts of the rubber stone that are burnt?" So he mocked Nehemiah, but did that stop him? No. Faith. So these are some example, thanks to God, in the older time that they kept faith. We have to continue faith. Also, another step is to be persistent in humility. We see the example of a Gentile woman in Matthew 15:21-28. This woman was commanded by Jesus to have great faith, for having great faith. What was it that made her faith great? It was her persistent attitude that got Jesus' attention. She continued to plead her case with humility, even after Jesus didn't respond the way she wanted him to respond. So she said, "True, Lord, yet even the little dog eat the crumb fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So thanks to God, we got to be persistent. We got to continue speaking the word, believing the word, teaching the word, walking by faith, walking on the word, in the word, covered with the blood. And also, next step is confessing and acting upon your faith. Confessing and acting upon your faith. For 2 Corinthians 4:13 said, "But since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore speak." So we have to believe and speak the word. James 2:20-22 said, "But do you not want to know, O foolish man, that faith without work is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by work when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his work, and by work faith was made perfect?" So we see, thanks to God, that we got to have faith. We got to confess our action upon our faith. So we got to act upon whatever we believe, we got to act upon. If we don't believe in God, you're going to act upon that. You're going to act that way. You're going to do the things of the devil. But we got to, being believers, we got to act upon faith because and believe in what God said. We got to believe upon him and stand upon him because we got to act upon that faith. And when we act upon and confess our faith and everything, that increases our faith. So in conclusion, I am convinced that God is calling all of us at various times to new levels of faith. Some of these levels require great faith. Others require an enormous amount of faith. Whether you are at now, have you ever been in the same place for a long period of time? If so, God may be calling you to take a greater step of faith to experience a new freshness in your walk with Him. Submit to His authority in the spirit of worship, adoration, and be fully convinced of what He wants you to do in your life, and press in regardless of all options. Exhibit boldness in the midst of unbelief and mockery. Be persistent with humility and confess and act on what you believe, and you shall experience the results of greater faith. Amen.
Anybody taking notes? I heard a few things that the Lord really wants me to impress this morning. Just like Reed said, we all have issues that we're trying, and we need to go past trying to achieving. See, that a trying, I can't try faith, I got to do faith. See, we've got to watch some things. Our confession, and it's not that, you know, don't get critical of yourself, but when our confession's wrong, our heart gets confused. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And that's where we have to watch our confession, not so much that I'm going to be legalistic about it, but I'm confusing my heart. If I'm trying to do what God's told me, I've got to go past trying. I've got to do it. That is faith. That's God's kind of faith. And I believe it was the word that God gave Jesse Duplantis this year is failure is not an option. God never fails. Never fails. You're not a failure because you're created in His image and in His likeness, right? So whatever's not happening in you is not from God. Didn't originate from Him. Therefore, it's not yours. Hello? It's not yours. It's the devil's. It's His. He's the author of death, not life. So our part is being persistent, like those examples Reed gave us. Be persistent. Persistent. That's not a lack of faith. That's I'm not settled with anything but faith. See, and that's not boasting. That's not pride. It's confidence in this God that created me to be like Him. Amen. See, God's not my problem. He's my answer. And this is what the world's going to start seeing. He's had a bad rap for a long time of people thinking about this God instead of knowing. And that's a couple points I made right there. And as Reed was giving us, I was writing pretty fast. I thank God. Make sure you bring your Bible to church. We don't want to get so lax that, I mean, we thank God that we can put it on projector. But let's bring our sword with us. Because we need to know where to find it in that word. Because Kelsey's not going to be at your home putting these scriptures on your projector and on your refrigerator. That's what you got to do. But bring your sword to church. Don't rely on the projector. We need to rely on what's written in that word right there. Spirit, soul, and body. Reed talked about faith. And he took me further when Abraham knew something. He took Isaac because he knew something. He knew the end from the beginning of what God said. If He said He's going to give me a son and He's going to live and He's going to do these things, He told me to go to the mountain, but I'm coming back with my son. He knew something. So faith begins where the will of God is known. There is the key to this faith walk, to receiving from God. You've got to know in whom you have believed. Believing is the start. That's faith. Take a hold of that faith. I believe. And you stay in that faith. You stay persistent. Then you know it. Faith is of the spirit. Spirit, soul, body. Faith is spirit. You can't understand faith. You just believe it. That's the spirit part. That's God's part. That's God's part. My part is to know it. And that's in my soul. That's where you get your mind saying, I am healed. I am blessed. I am the great I am. So you're bringing the spirit into the soul. I am prosperous. I'm going to live long. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to fulfill this course. I'm going to bring others into the knowledge of this God that I serve. I'm going to bring others into this knowledge. That's what Paul was doing, because he had a vision. Faith brought him a vision. Religion brought him bondage. And it brought others hardship and murder. It brought others hardship. See, we're not here to bring others hardship. We're here to bring them hope. Faith, hope, and love. Man, you got part two on this message? Praise God. Faith. And then we know it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing, and it gets down in my soul. I know it. Once you know that, you're on to the next thing. Faith, and then I know it, and then comes the body. I got it. That's manifestation. Faith, spirit, I know, soul, and then my healing is manifest. My finances, I'm coming out of the red. It starts to show up in your life. And they ain't just come to church on Sunday once you get born again and expect things to be totally in line with. You got to come on Sunday. Come back on Sunday. Keep coming. Go home thinking about what happened Sunday. You got all kind of notes in here. Thank you, Jesus. Saul, as Reed took us to the Old Testament, Saul was a man pleaser. David was a God pleaser. Look at Saul's result, end result, and look at David's end result. I want what David had. What did David had? He had a, what was it, Reed? He was after the heart of God and not after. See, man, if you're out to please man, you're going to have his reward. And it ain't much. It ain't much. I want God's results. I want to know how my enemies stacked up against me, how they're sitting out there. God's wisdom will come. Don't fight them this way, David. Come behind them this time. Amen. There's a different strategy. Now, this is speaking to somebody in here today. The way you're trying to receive something from God, listen, you might need to do it a little bit different way this time. Amen. Let's not put God in a box and try to make him that little and get him to jump out of that box. If as long as we do step one, two, three, and then that jack in the box comes out. Get rid of the box. Get rid of that religion. What has God said? Faith begins where the will of God is known. Once you hear exactly what's happening right there, then it's. What was the other scripture you took us to? Immediately, the leprosy left. Immediately. Lord, Jesus came down from the mountain. And he said, Lord, if it be thy will. And Jesus said, it is. Immediately. I know. I got it. Well, reader, let me know when you get there, Reed. Because there's one more verse I want you to read on that. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I want to know him. I want to be like him. I want to act like him. I want people to see me looking like him. But with that, like Reed said, I'm going to be mocked like he was. I'm going to be made fun of like he was. I'm going to be spit on maybe sometimes like he was. But at the end, I ain't talking about when I get to heaven. When I get to the end of that persecution, Percy ain't cute much anymore. Persecution. But when I get to the end of that persecution, my pockets are going to be full of something. My billfold, things are going to be changing. Something in my body, Lord, the Holy Ghost just touched because I got his glory working on the inside of me. Right there. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read the next verse. And Jesus said to him, see that, don't tell no man. Because see, man's not going to be where you get your blessing from. Because see, man's going to say, oh, you took some kind of medication. That medication finally caught up with you. No, man don't want to give God the glory. Jesus said, don't tell no man, but go to the priest. Go to the house of God, because see, that's where the word is at. And you'll find where it was written. Moses said, do this. Well, who told Moses? God told Moses. Don't go tell no man. You don't need to put your stuff out for everybody. Telling God, you know, what God's going to do. Because if they don't believe, you don't need their unbelief. You need somebody that's got faith to believe with you, to hook up with you, to stay with you until they see what God has done. Till they see Isaac coming back off of that. They asked Abraham, well, I thought you was going to go sacrifice. Now God said he's going to prepare a sacrifice. He just needed my faith. He needed my faith to trust him, because that sacrifice was going to be Jesus. Because God can't do nothing in the earth unless first he speaks it by his prophet. Amen. You're kings and prophets to God. Amen. You got something to say. Patsy, you got a lot to say for God. What he's done for you, what he's going to continue to do for you. The nay's saying, we ain't listening to that junk. You're going to live a long, you both going to live a long, prosperous life because of the glory of God. I heard a little bit of Lewis's testimony. I didn't know a lot of things. Still don't know a lot of things through the ministry happened. But I know this. I see God in this marriage. I see God in this ministry. I see God in your future. I see God all in you. No man's going to take from you what God's given to you. See, if there's a call of God on your life, you're going to fulfill it. You're going to Rome, Paul. Jeff Baker's coming to sing at Word of Faith Worship Center. Devil, God is greater than death. He's the resurrection and the life. We call those things, we call Jeff completely free from tumors and filled with God's glory and wisdom and power. We got to stay the course and stay hooked up. That's what faith people do. That's what God's people do. We come to the house of the Lord and we rebuild what the devil tries to steal and destroy. He rebuilds relationships. He changes our bodies, our minds. Amen. And he is still in the miracle working business. I'm glad somebody started talking about faith today. Amen. We could stay here all day. I start passing the microphone around. Terry still got his book open. You got something in there you need to share? He's just following up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's get the Holy Spirit a little bit of time. Kelsey's got some music she can play. And just let the Holy Spirit minister, move. Move in our midst. He's the one that confirms the word with sign. I can't perform no sign for you. I can't perform no wonder. Now I can act like a crazy guy out here and get filled with the Spirit and get some flesh involved and kind of try to make something happen. But I'd rather let something happen. Amen. Let God be true and let man be a lie. He's true to his word. And I know he's doing. Now the Holy Spirit, if you just believe and receive and go from past believing to knowing, he'll go to showing. I said, the Holy Spirit, you go to knowing, he'll go to showing. Showing you how good you are. Because God's on the inside of you. Jesus said, don't call no man good but God. But God lives on the inside of you. And it's by knowing that goodness that I start to see who I really am in Christ. Go ahead, Terry. You're good.
And it's Isaiah 1:19. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Amen. A lot of people eating bad stuff. We be willing and obedient to God, we're going to eat the good fruit. Let's get the first fruits. You know, we give God our best. What do you think he's going to do to us? He's going to honor us by giving us his best. Hundredfold. Just start there and work backwards. If you don't see hundredfold, Lord, just go ahead and start in the hundredfold. Thank you, Jesus. If you got heart problems, just go ahead and believe for a whole heart. Why you want this part fixed? Let him fix it all. Let's start thinking in reverse of what man can do and go, let's get a new kidney. If I got my own dialysis, don't believe, well, it's going to get better. Just believe for that new kidney. God, touch my kidney. Resurrection power. Whatever it may be, I'm just putting some visions out there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I've heard Daniel, he's doing some great things at school. Surpassing, I believe, what other students are doing because he's got a spirit of excellence. And he's bold to go after some things. And we're believing with him. Hard work pays off. Thank you, Jesus. I remember Elisha was following Elijah. Elijah said, boy, won't you go home? And you follow me everywhere I go. I'm saying, just paraphrasing. Elisha said, no. He said, if I want what you got, I got to be there when to get it. Because I heard you going up one day. Elijah was a prophet. And he forsook all. Left mom and dad. Probably had a nice place there at the ranch. But he wanted what Elijah had. It was a call of God on his life. And you can run away from that call. But God's always there. All he wants you to do is turn around. And if God's called you to do something, quit running. And just say, all right, Lord, here I am. Be willing and obedient. And then you'll get into that good place. Give God some time to work. Amen. Because he does have to work some stuff out sometimes. It's not God's. It's not like you don't have the power. He's got to work through human beings. Amen. To help get us to where we need to be. I believe you're at the right place today. Holy Spirit is working and moving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray in the Spirit a little bit here. Hey, Kimbolo Sete. Kimbolo So. Kimbolo Sete. Kimbolo Sete. Kimbolo Sete. Kimbolo Sete. Kimbolo Sete. Kimbolo Sete. Kelo so. Kimblo lo sete. Kimblo sete. Shilo kumbla se. Kimblo sete. Hele lo kumbla se. Kimblo lo sete. Kimblo lo so. Kumbla la se. Bible says when you pray in your most holy faith, you pray the perfect will of God. You wonder why the devil wants us to fight against churches and say that tongues is of the devil? Because the devil don't want you praying the perfect will of God. That puts him in jeopardy. That puts the devil in jeopardy. Well, he might as well get used to it. Because we already know the devil's future. It's a hot place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power and your presence. Power and your presence. Amen. You're a blessing, Larry. Not just to this church, but to others around you. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. Sent from God. You're a blessing sent from God. We ain't giving up on those ears that you can hear without buzzing or any irritation, any deafness in your ears. We're still believing and trusting that God's your healer. He says, I will, Larry. Know it. And the Holy Spirit's going to show it. Amen. It's not God's will that you suffer, anybody suffer here, lost anything down here on this earth. Thank you, Jesus. And you're not a disability. I heard somebody says you got God's ability. Amen. Amen. You have the ability to hear the word of God, to hear people behind you whispering in Jesus' name without any ringing. You better watch what you're saying back here, Vicky. You better be praising God because Larry's going to be hearing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. God just wants you to know that. What do we want from Him? He says, ask. We got to ask. Don't think pride, the devil wants you to think you can't ask. Amen. Just ask God. You can ask me, and I'll try to help you. I'm not God, but I'll try to help you all I can. I'll point you to the Word. God will give me. He'll show me something. Thank you, Lord. Man, this is church. Just sitting here and believing and trusting God by faith. Thank you, Reed. Taking us to that faith mountain today. Any special requests you want to make known today that we can agree with you?